I have this stupid song from the commercial in my head now. And it feels like I... You know that one?
I do, but you should finish it.
No.
The whole thing. Start to finish.
No, not
we'll beatbox for
it.
You.
Special edition of Nerd Appropriate for E3 this week. How you guys doing? We are short one member. Scott is currently traveling, so we're going to do some more E3 talk on our normal podcast on Tuesday. But we wanted to get this out.
The E3 special, sans Scott. And the thing about Scott is we don't even know where he is. He wouldn't tell us. So I think he's off on another one of his robot adventures.
Yes.
Programming Skynet or doing something strange like that.
Or something with cyanide and blood.
Yeah, well, you know Scott. he is cyanide in blood. So how are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All is well here in my neck of the woods as well. We have a lot of E3 stuff to go over. It's kind of crazy. Scheduling all of us to meet, by the way, was quite a challenge.
This was a week. We kind of had, I had guys were available. I was not available at all. And then, you know, we snuck one in today. And Ash, you're getting in a car and driving soon, aren't you?
Yeah, day after tomorrow I leave.
Yeah.
Quite a while, so
all right,
figure it out.
Yay.
So E3,
let's kick it off with just kind of general impressions. How did you guys feel about this E3, Ash, if you want to start off?
Sure. I mean, it's weird, since we're so near the end of this console generation, I don't think we're gonna see too many like huge announcements in terms of new IPs at this point. So what we're seeing is a lot of sequels, a lot of games that, you know, are destined to sell because they are, you know, number 8, 9, 10 in a franchise. So in terms of like pure innovation and brand new things that like make your jaw drop, there wasn't a whole lot of it this year. And that's exactly what I was expecting. But there was still some cool stuff that I am genuinely excited about. So I'm not going to be a total negative Nance. There's some cool stuff coming out, and we're going to talk about it. But overall, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah. How about you, Hiller?
I think it's awesome, and I'm now poor with all the money that I'll be losing in pre-orders. I'm a little too excited about the games that have been launched or announced, at least. I'm just, like, dying. It's going to be amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, Ash. For me, it's definitely a software thing now. It's not hardware anymore, you know. There's nothing crazy. Like, the Kinect was probably the last big hardware announcement that I thought was crazy. And then since then, it's just kind of been, you know, seeing what new games roll out, seeing what they can do with old technology at this point. And if what we're about to talk about, you know, has anything to say about it, they definitely can do a lot with the old technology, so.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting to see there was a large emphasis on, again, motion controls and stuff from Microsoft. And
well, yeah,
I think the enthusiasm for innovation in terms of controls, I think that's waning rather rapidly. I don't think anyone is really excited about any sort of motion control anymore.
I don't know.
Go ahead. No, you.
All right.
Okay. No.
I think the motion control thing, like, I'm always on the side of innovation for innovation's sake, and I think that motion controlling, I just don't think we've seen a truly innovative dev use it yet, honestly. I mean, like, not that innovative devs haven't used it, but I'm saying, like, nobody's really just broken that ground of, like, this is what you can do with a Kinect that you can't do with anything else. It still feels a little rote. It feels a little like, okay, well, you know, people are getting used to it. They're figuring out how to get voice control into stuff, figuring out how to get a little bit of motion control in and out. And it's going to be, you know, a couple of years or so before we really see that kind of just mind-blowing thing with the Kinect or with some technology like it.
No, I agree.
Yeah, because the demos of, I think it was PS3, were so successful.
Yeah.
At E3, uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
All right. What about you guys? What do you think in terms of the big three? So let's go run down the big three real quick, and then we'll dive into a bunch of games. But what do you think about Microsoft's showing in particular? What do you think?
It was, I kind of tweeted about it. I was like, well, you know, that was less than impressive by the end of it. You know, I thought Smart Glass seems cool. I'm still not convinced on it. I'm going to really need to see it in front of me to mm-hmm. really see how it goes. I think depending on how well Microsoft built their technology end of it, it's hard for me to understand how a dev is going to support anything from my 4-inch phone to my 10-inch iPad and be able to add some kind of control or extra layer to it inside of gaming. I mean, I can see the point of it as far as like you know, being able to stream from one to the other or watch something that I was watching on my Xbox and my iPad. But unfortunately, like everything Microsoft does, that's like 3 years too late. I can already do that with my Google TV and with my phone or with my Kindle Fire. Like that stuff, I can already seamlessly kind of move from one platform to another.
Yeah.
And then the games, you know, it was funny to watch them kind of announce games that we all knew were coming, you know, Halo 4, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, you know, it just was like, okay. And the games that really blew us all away were the ones that didn't happen inside of Microsoft's presser. So it's like...
That's true. Yeah.
It was just kind of like, okay. You know, that was an E3 showing. It wasn't anything crazy, but it wasn't horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been worse, though. It could have been...
Yeah, yeah.
It could have been Nintendo's. Ooh!
Oh,
snap!
I don't think Nintendo's was that bad. I would actually have to say that the Wii U demonstration showing kind of the functionality with having, you know, the interactivity with your controller and the big screen as well. If Smart Glass does something like that, if they can program applications to run so there's exclusive content on each screen or whatever, I mean, I'm all for that. So I think actually yeah. Nintendo sold me on that idea far more.
Yeah, really. You seem to be really getting into it, and then. I mean, you know, we'll talk about it later in the list, but Mass Effect 3 with a Wii U pad, you seem to love this idea.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but yeah, if they can pull it off, the idea behind it is brilliant. It's just a matter of execution at this point.
Yeah, will it actually work? I mean, you know, they showed off with the Smart Glass specifically for Microsoft, they showed off watching Game of Thrones and having a map interacting with the show at the same time, and I thought that was a brilliant idea, because the idea of you know, maybe even watching something like, we'll just say Breaking Bad, and having character bios pop up as you're watching and things like that. So yeah, making television more interactive would be pretty
cool.
Who's
making this content? Like who it's just really weird to me to think, like, I know how much of a pain in the ass it is to support multiple devices. It's not fun. It's obnoxious to not know what size somebody's going to look at a thing, you know, on their screen.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine, you know, HBO or, I mean, I guess HBO is doing it, but I just can't imagine them throwing that much extra time and money into supporting one platform's thing. Nobody else has got it. So it's not like this is going to sell gangbusters all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an added benefit, I guess, to Xbox users. So I don't know. Exactly. It's really confusing to me.
Yay, it's job creation for communication departments.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I don't really interact with any device while I'm watching TV, but I certainly do when I'm playing games. So, you know, I'll if I get a new game and I want to check out a walkthrough or get some tips or tricks, I absolutely have my cockpit open, and it's like literally like my laptop. My controller, you know, anything else on the side, you know, just I'm ready. So if I have a question or a decision that I have to make that I want to know all my options or if I want a spoiler, it's there at my fingertips. So I don't know, but I'm not really like that with a TV show. I mean, usually it's like me sinking into the couch trying to get away from thinking.
Yeah. So did you guys get the feeling during Nintendo's presser that they kept saying they don't have enough time to show everything and then they didn't really show anything? Like, I kind of got the feeling they were like, we don't have that much time. We're so short on time. Here's the one thing we're going to show you. And then you're like, what? And then they would show like a blast of 5 games in a row and not explain anything about any of those games and then move right into the next thing. And you're like, all right, sure. I don't know what you're telling me right now. There's still a lot of vagueness about the Wii U. I mean, it's better. They're getting a little bit more specific, but I'm still a little worried about how little they're really saying specifically about what this thing's going to do and can do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sort of in the camp that believes that Nintendo needs a new IP and needs to stop refreshing and revisiting old IPs, because gamers grow up, and like the demographic right now are, you know, the typical gamers in their early to late 30s at this point, and a lot of them don't really necessarily want to play the same things they played when they were little kids. I mean, there is a bit of nostalgia titles, but I
don't know.
I think a lot of people would love to see something brand new from Nintendo that just kind of wows us, you know?
Is that Zombie U?
Zombie U looks interesting.
No, I'm happy with their. It seems like they're taking a few select titles that are more mature and putting it on that platform. If they continue to do that, then great. Plus, they have the added bonus of also wrangling in the 80-year-olds who want to do Wii Fit. So, I mean, they are revolutionizing. I mean, they're not completely revolutionizing the market, but they're absolutely hitting a target audience that no one else is.
I would love to see a Nintendo commercial for Wii Fit just with 80-year-olds.
I feel like they did show something like that, or maybe it was.
They have one with grandparents, but I think they're always usually pretty fit, young, attractive people.
Well,
fit,
yeah.
Young, attractive grandparents.
Yeah.
Yes. But no, I mean, I think, you know, they're trying to rope in the super, super young. They have like a wide net approach. They're trying to get the super, super young who want to play with like cutesy little things. And then they have, you know, stuff that's geared toward a really older audience. And then they have stuff kind of that's geared toward us. And if they continue to kind of push that way, I think that they'll have a good handle on things. But maybe because they're not specializing, they're having a problem. So no one really knows how to relate to their brand.
I felt like, you know, they made the point during it that when they put out the Wii, they had to release Wii Sports, and that's how they explained the Wii to everyone, to the masses, you know. And it was a success. Like, Wii Sports was a lot of fun, whether everybody stuck with it or not, and the platform obviously didn't go much further than that. It was a lot of fun to sit at a friend's house and bowl or play tennis or whatever with this new controller. And then they're like, so we're doing the same thing this time. We're going to release a game that really explains what the Wii U is, Nintendo Land, which is like a series of party games.
Yeah.
And I just kind of was like, what? That doesn't translate to me. That felt really weird. Like, I was like, and then the party games they showed were really, they looked like tech demos. It was just like nothing interesting. I don't know. It was really confusing overall for me, Nintendo's message.
Didn't they say things like it's the tool of together? You know, they had something like that. And I feel like they're really trying to market toward the less tech, more interactivity with people. I mean, it's more about like the poignant side of gaming, I guess. That sounds weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I don't think they understand that most gamers like me want to just kind of sit in my cave and
I think you're
blow
right.
stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, there are occasions where we have people over and we play games together, but I would say
yeah.
the majority of the time is spent, you know, by yourself, and then you can connect with your friends through some sort of online connectivity. But most of the time, you're by yourself when you're gaming.
Yeah,
you know, and you don't have people over at your house constantly, so you should never build a title exclusively around giant group settings. That's just not how most people play, I don't think.
So we haven't mentioned PlayStation at all yet. What did you guys think of theirs?
That was an awkward presser.
Yeah, it was odd. Like, you guys are fully aware, but I am not the hugest fan of their exclusive titles. So I wasn't really anticipating all that much, especially
except
with Uncharted.
For The Last of Us.
Well, that looks incredible. Okay,
that does look incredible.
I'll hand you that. Last of Us.
Zombie free.
Yeah, and I will gladly dust off my PlayStation to play that. But other than that, I wasn't really too super excited about anything PlayStation related. Their weird Smash Brothers game, I know.
Yeah.
Get away from me with that. That is
what
horrid.
Is that? That's really, truly weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. It's like the people that play Smash Brothers are just like huge Nintendo fans. I don't know anyone. I mean, this is just me speaking here. I don't know anyone that is going to like freak out over like, oh my gosh, I can play as, you know, Drake versus Kratos. What the fuck are you talking about? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was not good.
It was odd. Yeah, that one was definitely I don't think they have the ethos to pull off a big, party fight game like Smash Brothers, which is clearly built on the success of Nintendo's nostalgia, if nothing else. It was so weird to see that.
Yeah, they have like, 30 years of a growing roster of Nintendo characters, and like I don't even know who you would play in this PlayStation game. It's like Drake and Kratos, and then I don't know, the car from Forza. I have no freaking
Wait,
clue.
I might be wrong, but didn't they have Big Daddy on there too?
Yeah, but that's
Yeah, and I
Is it
think
Big Daddy?
isn't
I feel like so removed from BioShock because it's been so long since I played it.
It is Big Daddy, but
Okay,
it's
good.
also that's a cross-platform game, so I don't really understand why that's there. So
Didn't they have
Yeah.
Small World or whatever that game is, the Bag Boy or Sack Boy, whatever his name is?
Yeah, Little Big Planet. Small World. There's
Don't
just
know.
children. You play as children. And you run around singing songs to each other.
Is that a Nintendo
Yeah. Sounds like something Nintendo would make.
So I would say pretty clearly that we all agree the actual publishers had the better pressers this year
Yeah,
than the
absolutely.
game
Yeah, for
console
sure.
makers. So
Ubisoft.
let's get into the
Ubisoft.
games.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Just really quick on the
Yeah.
pressers. Ubisoft definitely pushed the envelope, I think,
Oh
this
yeah,
year.
100%.
I love the fact that they had an announcer, a professional one. I love the fact they had Tobuscus there, who I'm a huge fan of Tobuscus. I'm not sure he was okay during the press conference, but his videos that have come out now about it are fantastic. I mean,
They're
he's
pretty funny.
hilarious.
They're really
Yeah.
funny. You
I'm
gotta
a
hand it
big
to them.
Yeah, so and the fact that they showed some certain content from Far Cry 3 really pushed the envelope, and then just
Oh
the
yeah.
announcer. Yeah, just the announcer saying stuff like girl would and that all girls are bi. Like, she really kind of pushed it.
Oh,
But
Aisha Tyler, yeah,
Aisha Tyler's hilarious.
she's
She's really funny.
hilarious. But she went a little farther than I think a lot of people tuning into a video game press conference thought that it was going to go. But I have to hand it to them. They kept me entertained, and I was riveted. So I think Ubisoft won the
I'm
press
with you
conference
there.
wars. Plus,
I
that's
would
a
agree.
ton of titles.
Yeah, I would agree.
And their stuff all looks so good. But let's talk about everything. We have a long list of titles from everybody, and we're just going to do really quick, kind of like just rapid fire games of all this new
And
stuff
this
coming
is
out and
definitely
kind of.
not an exhaustive list. There's a lot more that we don't have
Yeah.
included on here, but we'll try to pick up some of those titles on Monday, maybe. So this next one, makes me excited. But
Whoa.
Splinter Cell Blacklist, a new Splinter Cell game, which I was not expecting at all,
It looks fantastic.
announced. It does.
I
And it
think
looks
I
like.
was kind of expecting this actually, and
Were
I
you?
yeah, I was. I think there was a new studio, God, I don't know, Ubisoft, I think Jade Raymond might be in charge of this project,
Really?
up in Canada. I don't know if it's the Montreal studio, but anyway, the footage looked absolutely incredible. So
Yeah.
I'm super, super excited about Splinter Cell Blacklist. I'm kind of bummed that they got rid of Michael Ironside. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's weird that they lost the voice of Sam Fisher, but
Yeah.
the footage itself looks pretty incredible.
Conviction was one of my favorite games a couple of years ago, and this looks like it takes Conviction and just kind of stretches it out a little. I'm excited to see what they do. The story kind of follows Third Echelon getting dismantled, and then there's a new Fourth Echelon that is like super, super, super secret, I guess. I don't understand the logic there, but we'll see. The gameplay did look phenomenal. Gameplay looked really good.
Yeah,
Are you guys?
I've never played a Splinter Cell game, and I was going
Oh.
to talk about it later with Crysis. I haven't played one of those, but I mean, after watching the footage of that and just hearing about them, I mean, those are two franchises that I'll be happily introduced to after
Yeah,
E3 this
they're
year.
good.
I would actually say, Hillary, that Conviction's probably like 10 or $15 right now, and 100% worth that price. Like, it's a really good game.
Yeah.
Summer game pile.
Yeah,
There
there
you
you go.
go. It has an
Summer game pile.
entire Conviction has an entire two-player campaign as
Multiple
well
co-op. And
that
it's
is
fun as
some of the
hell.
best co-op you'll ever play. It's really
Yeah.
awesome. Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff. So,
So we.
Blacklist, yes.
Yes, Blacklist
Cool.
is fantastic. We teased this last one on the last podcast. We'd heard wind of it, and now we've seen full gameplay, mind-blowing gameplay, call it, and this is Star Wars 1313. So, Ash, what did you say about this revealed to be a story-driven dark Star Wars game?
Oh, so a lot of stuff I've been encountering about this, and people are asking, well, what's this game really going to be like, you know, other than looking phenomenal? You know, what's the whole idea behind it? And it's essentially going to be a really hardcore adventure game with some puzzle elements and things like that, similar to like an Uncharted, but all set in sort of the seedy underbelly of the Star Wars universe. Very character driven, very story driven, kind of the Star Wars game I think people have really been waiting for. You know, we talk about how much we love Jedi and stuff like that, but I think all of us equally love bounty hunters and all that sneaky dark crap. So I'm really excited to see what the heck this is all about.
So did you guys watch the gameplay video?
No. I saw like a 30-second clip of it, and that's it.
Did you see it earlier?
I didn't. I just have to say, though, for this game, if they brought in, I don't know if you guys know who this is, Mara Jade. I would like give $1 million to whoever makes that. She was my favorite. Awesome. I did see a couple seconds. I was actually in the middle of work, but it does look fantastic, but you probably know far more about it than I do.
I got to see three gameplay clips, I think it was three. One was him, this might be the one you saw, Ash, where he was running up the ship that was exploding. Did you see that? Or did you just see the two guys talking?
Yeah, that's a little, I saw the running the ship stuff.
So there's one scene where he's talking, and it's a cutaway, and then it cuts to in-game, and there's no break. They have actually done 100% fluid between cutaways and in-game. So it's completely fluid. The HUD is really minimal. So it honestly looks like you're playing a movie almost the entire time. The graphics are insane. They said this is a heavily modded Unreal 3 engine running on a high-end PC, quote-unquote. and it just looks unbelievable. I mean, this is... The game is gorgeous. They also showed a scene of running and gunning. Did you see that, Ash, where he was hiding, ducking behind walls and stuff like that?
I didn't see that, no.
Definitely, I could see the Uncharted, but looked a little bit more fluid, looked a little bit better of a shooter, maybe between a Mass Effect kind of, you know, shooter level versus Uncharted. I don't know. It looked really fluid with a cover system.
Third-person action-y.
Third-person action, cover system involved, like... looked great, you know, I mean, moved really fluidly. The effects that were going on during it, I mean, like, there was stuff falling outside of the window with smoke effects, and they're shooting lasers at each other, and there's sparks flying everywhere, and I mean, it looked insane. So the game,
awesome.
I think, is awesome. Going to be everything we want. You guys want to go into Watch Dogs?
Sure. So I messaged Hillary with this the other day, and I was just kind of like looking through different clips of this game and such, and Watch Dogs from Ubisoft looks to be exactly kind of what we've all been waiting for. Open world cyberpunk, just absolute madness. The demo of footage that I saw had the main protagonist actually in the busy streets of Chicago, actually controlling the stoplights. And he made all the stoplights turn green at the same time and caused like a 15 car pileup, all in real time. Amazing collision, amazing hit detection, just absolute madness. And then a firefight breaks out in the streets, and it's just unbelievable looking. And if there is a story that even closely matches the quality of like the open world madness, then I'll be completely excited about it. So,
you know, during the Ubisoft press conference, I was obviously real-time tweeting because I was so excited about this. And it's funny because IGN also made this mistake. They had talked about this game as CTOS, and that's actually the name of the computer system that's similar to Skynet that's in the background of the story. So it's funny because, you know, I was tweeting the whole time like, CTOS, CTOS, and it was actually Watch Dogs. But yeah, I mean, it looks kind of like a cross between, I don't know, like Blade Runner and modern day times, and also maybe Deus Ex.
Hackers.
Maybe Hackers, of course. Yeah, but it's because I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Okay, I can get into this. But yeah, as soon as he triggered that car pileup, I was like, sold. Yeah, mean, but
I think that was the moment that all of us were like, oh my God, right when that happened.
Well, it's funny because he's walking around that club environment, like right before that, And there's people are taking orders with, I don't know, it must be like an Android or something, but it has like a big square head with a QR code on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I immediately tried to get it. I had my phone out. I was like, come on.
Well, and the thing that's hilarious is can't you imagine walking around cons seeing people with the big blockheads with that, like a big QR code? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, like Minecraft. Yeah, that's kind of like the next thing. So that would be pretty phenomenal. But yeah, for anyone who said, and I knew it, I knew Ubisoft was doing this. Everyone's like, yeah, Assassin's Creed, it's getting old in the franchise and they don't have much else going on. I knew that they were going to drop something like this.
Did you? See, I had no idea. Like, I knew they were working on, you know, something, but I had no idea it was going to be anything like this. And I think this is really ambitious. I think this is the right direction to go in. It sort of takes elements of like a Grand Theft Auto and modernizes it and takes you away from, you know, just being a criminal and sort of a miscreant and actually gives you a little bit more of a purpose. Granted, we don't know what that purpose is yet. You might just be a criminal and a miscreant, but it seems like you actually have an agenda in this game that's a little bit more highbrow, you know?
Yeah, or as a member of Anonymous. Like
you were a hitman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did this not make you want more from Deus Ex when you watched it?
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is what I wanted Deus Ex to actually be, and it wasn't.
Yeah, rather than taking place on a series of sound stages, like an actual wide open city would have been beautiful.
Well, and the hacking, the way they did all the wired connections and the hacking and stuff, the way they visualized that was just phenomenal in this game. It looks amazing.
So actually, don't you think it's weird that once this game dropped, all of a sudden LinkedIn and a couple other sites have had major password hacking issues?
Interesting. No, I noticed that.
Over the past couple of days, there's some big sites. I mean, LinkedIn obviously was the one that
LinkedIn and Last.fm were the two that got hacked.
There was another one that was announced today too that had, you know, 1.5 million users. So something, I just think it's kind of a funny coincidence that right after a big hacking game gets released, all these hackers start attacking our online lives.
Not good. Not good. Anyway, so we are incredibly excited about Watch Dogs, and hopefully we know a little bit more about it soon, like what system it's coming out for, if this generation or next. But
so Kotaku, but like, went after this kind of angle as to, because no one was saying what systems they were on. They just kept saying like, oh, you know, this we're just releasing this soon, coming soon. To, you know, we haven't announced anything, and then supposedly on Ubisoft's site, Watch Dogs got announced for PS3, Xbox 360, and PC.
Hmm. Okay.
Is what they're saying. And then Kotaku went back to Ubisoft and was like, so is this true? You guys are putting it out on these systems. And they just kind of smiled and they were like, we're not really saying anything yet. So they keep like pushing around as to what they're actually going to be putting this out on. I mean, my point of view is, Watch Dogs look fantastic. I think it could possibly get pulled off on the 360 and the PS3 if needed. Star Wars 1313, without some major downgrades, there's absolutely no way that game is coming out on an Xbox 360.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's just no way. It's unbelievable. So Watch Dogs, it would be sad if it came out on the 360. It'd probably be like four discs too, honestly.
Yeah, for real.
We talked about this.
Yeah, it'd be ridiculous.
So... I don't know.
The 360 with a four disc changer.
Yeah, exactly.
What if
we've upgraded?
Just put out an add-on where it's like a USB disc changer. You just put it next to.
I was
put like 10 discs inside of it.
Like the Sega CD all over again. 360 32X.
Man.
So what's next on the list? Last of Us.
Last of Us. Man. Holy shit.
I've actually been like drooling over this game for a while now, but I'm glad that they showed more content because, I mean, they'd shown us like really small bits and pieces where everyone thought it was a zombie game. So now that they've showed us kind of what the antagonists look like, they're human and they're
human, but they're saying there's some kind of like fungal infection is what they're saying. That's what all the guys are all infected that you're fighting. They're with something, but they're not zombies. They're not out to eat you or anything.
Why does it gotta be fungal?
They have crotch fungus.
Just letting you know. I mean, this
always a fungal infection.
The gameplay section that they ran through on this game was just brutal. Crazy looking. The girl that, you know, stabs the guy in the back and the guy knocks her off, then you go curb stomp him, and the guy, it was like one scene after another of just completely intense. I can't imagine playing a game with that level of intensity all the way through, but I could see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, titles like The Last of Us are really pushing storytelling in games. And of course I'm all for that. You know, I think we're finally getting to the point, you know, with games like Uncharted and now Last of Us, that we don't necessarily have to be in an RPG setting to have a really rich narrative inside of a game. And so games like this are just, you know, they're kind of paving the way for the future. So that's fucking awesome.
What do you think about the fact that they can seemingly not stop making Nathan Drake?
I'm okay with that. I loved it, but I loved Uncharted. Loved it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I did an article a long time ago about like the protagonist in every single video game. He pretty much looks like the same character. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I want to see like, you know, more. I want to see like a 75 little old man as the protagonist of one of these action titles.
Or like his Wii Fit.
Yeah, like a little, like a, you know, shriveled up old guy who just happens to save the day. How incredible would that be? Or maybe like, you know, a 12-year-old fat kid. Let him have his moment of glory.
Hey, you guys!
Yes! Yes. I would kill for a Chunk and Sloth game.
Chunk game, yeah.
Two-player co-op, beat 'em up. Sloth and Chunk.
Sloth beating them up.
There's a truffle shuffle special where you just like, you have to, it's like shake controls for the Wii. You have to actually waggle. Oh, is that a bad idea?
No, I think it's a great idea. You should make this game.
See, I don't know why people don't hire me for this shit.
Oh, man. This next game, though, probably for me was PlayStation's drop the mic moment, but I don't know. I think it was the first thing they did, which was Beyond Two Souls, the new game from Quantic Dream.
Oof.
I've never
played Heavy Rain, so Scott would probably choke me out for saying that, but I'm kind of weary of like how dark their stuff is. You know what I mean? I typically play games to be uplifted, and Heavy Rain, just from everything I read, is like, this game will rip your soul out and leave you in a ball of tears. You're like, well, I don't want to play.
Well,
that.
I mean, you talk about storytelling innovation. I would say that Quantic Dream is truly doing storytelling innovation. Like,
yeah,
this is a game that you could play 15 times, have 15 different outcomes, and none of them are wrong or right. It's just the story. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You're just playing, like, that's the way I play Mass Effect, but it's clearly not the way everybody plays Mass Effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll play it once, and then I'm like, all right, that was my story, I'm good with that. And everybody else, you know, there's, like, the good ending, or whatever it might be, and Quantic Dream doesn't really do that. But Hillary, did you play Heavy Rain?
No, I mean, but I don't know, this, I've got a bit, I'm a bit torn about this game, just because, the fact that they're using Ellen Page for the main protagonist or whatever, mm-hmm. I have an issue with that, just because I'm kind of tired of seeing her. Haha, oops. But you know, video games is a media that I don't want a lot of crossover with movies particularly, and I don't like when they have, you know, like LA Noire, when they had like the Mad Men guy as the lead character. I kind of want video games to be outside of what my reality is. So I don't want to see someone that I can see on TV or in the movies on my video game console. It's annoying that during the whole demo of it, they talked about the amazing writing. This is the most amazingly written piece of awesome that has ever been. And the entire thing was like close-ups of Juno's face with, you know, weird emotions on her face. And I'm like, this is not good writing, guys. This is cinematography, and I'm not here to watch a movie. I'm here to play a game. Although I do like cinematic elements. I don't know. The story didn't wrap me in. I'm like, okay, so it's an insane person who talks to dead people. We've never seen that before. And then, you know, at a cop station, and the cops, you know, he's like a sheriff who's in a small town or whatever. And then the SWAT team invades. And I'm like, I swear to God, I've seen this before. Like, there's nothing new.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's a little unfair though, because I could argue that I've seen every single, you know, Skyrim is nothing new. You know, like that, like that stuff is the same stuff too.
It wasn't trying to be so innovative. It wasn't trying to like break the mold. Right. It was basically like, here's an enormous playground, like in the tradition of the playgrounds that we've produced before and better.
Okay. I would say that I think I agree. Maybe the concept for the story, although that you don't. I've heard more about the gameplay, and you're not just a person who talks to dead people. That you actually are a ghost as well, and that you can control things in a very.
So like the darkness.
No.
You two need to stop fighting. Stop it.
Stop no, not fighting. Like the darkness. I mean, I can't argue you because what you're arguing to me is this isn't the most original game ever created, and that makes me hate it. So like, there's nothing I can say to that because it's like, well, neither is Dead Space, Halo, South Park, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Tomb Raider. These have all existed.
What about But
those haven't been positioned to us as.
Then you're mad at the marketing. Yes, I mean, you're not mad at the game. It's like.
Okay, that's fine. That's a fair point. Fair point.
I can't argue that.
I'll take that.
The real question is, Hillary, why do you hate Ellen Page, and why is this tainting the game for you?
Well, okay. So let's break out the tiny violin here for me. Okay.
Uh-oh.
We're playing the tiny violin. So yes. If you're following me on Twitter or whatever, you know that I had to go to a really sad funeral. A couple of weeks ago, and you know, is a close family member, whatnot. So when this guy comes on stage, and I'm assuming that the general population has bad stuff happen with people dying in their lives because it is a natural event. When the guy comes on stage and says, "This game will show you what happens after you die. This game is so poignant that it explains all of the mysteries of life." La 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 la. Like super like hyperbolic. Complete. I'm just like, oh wow. Like what is this? It's gonna talk about what? This is amazing. And then it's like, zoom in, Ellen Page.
yeah,
I don't know. It was just kind of like it there was this lead up to it, and you know, it had me. And I think that's probably why I reacted so. That's probably why I have so much vitriol against it at this point, because it really wrapped me in, and I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be amazing. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. The video they showed was a little. I didn't get super excited until I saw more about the gameplay and heard more about what they're doing as far as the story goes, but it still is a little. I understand the video was like the first 3 minutes of it is just Ellen Page's face, and you're like, okay, Ellen Page's face. But I think it was they were trying to build tension with the moment with the cop and her not talking, and you know. But there were jokes flying on Twitter like, why isn't Ellen Page talking to Mark? Mark McGuire was one I saw, and then it was like a lot of that. But you know, we'll just have to, have to see, I guess.
And they talked about her amazing voice acting. And yet she said not maybe two words the whole time.
Well, right, but I'm pretty sure the game is going to be more than just that scene of her in the police office.
The game is just her sitting in the police chair. And it's like a rhythm game where the two play patty cake. And you have to match perfectly.
Oh, my God.
This is why I should design games. All right. Let's move on away from Two Souls and move on to Dead Space 3. Which has a soft spot in my heart, and I'm excited for Dead Space 3. Hillary, what did you think of the footage that we saw of Dead Space?
It looks fantastic. I mean, I'm already bought into that franchise. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not remembering it. But aside from the fact that you're being ingested by some weird monster that looks like a Thresher Maw, and then apparently getting pooped out because he's like. You don't go out the same way you came in, but a bunch. It looks great. I mean, I think it's going to be more of the same, which I am 100% okay with. Good job, Visceral.
Yeah, I'm there as well. It's funny, my relationship with the Dead Space franchise, I purchased the first game, got about 75% of the way through it, and got stuck, and then put it down up until the week before Dead Space 2 came out, and then I finally manned up and beat it, and played through 2 a couple of times actually, and I really ended up falling in love with this franchise because I think it filled that void that was missing in my life of survival horror, and I really love that genre, and I don't feel like there are as many of those games anymore. And now we seem to be moving away from survival horror with Dead Space 3 because it is a completely co-op experience from beginning to end. And it looks to be more of like, a third person shooter, more or less, from what I'm seeing. I mean, it took away a little bit of the tank controls, and it looks to be a lot faster, and Not quite as scary corridor, you know, driven first person experience because you have these wide open areas for two players. So
does that bother you, or are you okay with that?
Because
I'm admittedly not a Dead Space fan. So it's like, and not because the game was bad, just I played one at the wrong time and never finished it and then never got the two. So,
yeah, I think the survival horror genre was born out of the third person action title didn't exist yet when Resident Evil first came out. And so I almost, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to go and kind of lay on the train tracks here, but I almost feel like this is a better way to play these games. I think there is a way to make action scary. And I think we're going to have to look at Dead Space 3 as an example, hopefully, of how action can be scary. Because, I mean, just walking slowly and being in the dark doesn't necessarily make a title scary. There can be frightening right. moments with a partner as well.
Right, but I think the thing with Dead Space 1 that got me always was that it was always like a building terror. And there were like jump moments, but everything wasn't necessarily jump moments. It was like a lot of tension and just like anxiety creation while you're playing. Seriously.
No, it did. Yeah.
And Dead Space 3, I mean, honestly, I looked at it and it kind of made me go like, oh, so now it's just a jump scare shooter. Like that doesn't seem like as much fun to me, but yeah. I might not be the right fan to make that call. Like I'm not, you know,
yeah, yeah.
I don't have the relationship with the characters. So.
True. And plus, you know, playing with a buddy over live, you're going to be cracking jokes the entire time. It'll take mm-hmm. you out of the experience, you know, where you did have those kind of dark, creepy moments that you had in 1 and 2, where you're listening with your headphones on, listening to every single sound to find out where the enemies were coming from. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm excited for the title just because at this point, I want to see what happens to Isaac. I like the story. Mm-hmm. I love the design. I think Visceral does a great job with their weapons, with their armor, with their creatures. I think it's a really great franchise, and I hope it does well so it can continue. So,
yeah.
So, Ash, are you telling me that you don't watch horror movies with your friends?
I do watch horror movies with my friends, but I can't tell you the last time I was scared by a horror movie.
Okay. Yeah, well, what about like Paranormal Activity? Have you seen any of those?
Yeah, I've seen them. Those are scary. Yeah, sure. But yeah. I'm also not talking to my friends really when I'm watching them.
That's
if
true.
if my friends talk to me while I'm watching like a scary film, I'll choke them out.
just
till
they pass
out.
Shut up. just till they black out.
Yeah,
and then he lets
a little sleeper hold. wake up when this is over.
I am a little concerned because I always play it on PlayStation. So, and all of my social playing is on Xbox. So that's going to be kind of hard if it's solely co-op. Is it really solely co-op? I did not know that.
From what I understand, it's drop-in, drop-out co-op from beginning.
Yeah, it's drop-in, drop-out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Except for maybe the first like 10 minutes, where you know they kind of showed the first 10 minutes of the game during the demo, but where it's just Isaac and then. Someone else joins the fun.
Man, so. I'm going to have to get it on Xbox then.
You might. You might have to get another Xbox.
No, not another Xbox. I might have to get it on Xbox.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I already have two Xboxes.
You already have two?
I don't need another one. Yeah.
Yeah, and you and your husband can play co-op in the same room at the same time.
Except, and this is a question to anyone out there who can tell me how to have it so that my two Xboxes can be on the same router. That would be fantastic.
Oh.
That is the inner struggle at my house.
I could tell you.
There's a port issue. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a port thing. You got to open ports. But anyway, moving on. All right. So Halo 4, Matt.
Halo 4.
You are the Halo guy.
I'm the Halo fan.
I want to hear what you think because you are the one they care about.
Nonsensical story aside, the end of 3... You know, spoiler alert for a game that's 6 years old. The end of three, you do not actually die. As apparently, I think everybody saw the funeral for Master Chief and just turned the game off and didn't finish. There's a scene where you crash land on another planet, and where you crash land is everybody is saying is the Forerunner's home planet, which is the people that made the Halo ring.
So the guys that made the Halo ring drive like off-road vehicles.
Toyota?
Yes, they all drive Toyota for you know, this is 343 Industries, is that their name?
Yeah.
Right? This is kind of their chance to shine, I think. They're taking a known property and trying to take it away from Bungie and see what happens. I thought the graphics looked good. I thought the Forerunner's design looked awesome. I really liked it. It was probably one of the first new looking things to me in like an alien type game setting in a long time. I feel like it doesn't look, I don't feel like they were borrowed from a movie unless it's a movie that I have no reference to. I don't feel like they came out of another game. They look pretty truly unique, and especially how they do their weaponry and all that kind of stuff too. So that made me excited. I was pretty happy about that. If 343 can somehow make the mess of a story out of the first four Halos make sense, that would be fantastic too. But I'm not gonna put too much stock in that. So we'll see. I know that the stuff I had seen about Halo 4 leading up to E3 really was not exciting me, because they basically were saying like, look how much better we're making it look than Halo 3. And I was like, yeah, except there was another game called Halo Reach that looked really good between those two.
But
And
don't be confused with ODST.
yeah, well, I don't know.
There's
But
like a
yeah,
million Halo titles.
there is, and the only ones that canonically, right? Did I say that correctly?
Yeah,
All right, makes sense would
canonically.
be it'd be Reach 1, 2, 3 are the ones that you really have to like follow. ODST somehow fits in between 2 and 3 or during 3 or something like that. We'll see. I think that if they can explain what the Forerunners are and how they created the Halo and make that interesting and fun to play, then I'm down. And the gameplay looked awesome, looked very Halo-ish, and like I said, the Forerunners look great. So do you guys have any tie to this? Hillary, do you play Halo at all, or?
I did. Yeah, I can't say that I've been really excited about a Halo title lately, but I've definitely played 1, 2, Reach, and I started ODST, but I stopped. But yeah, I'm if they can do something innovative and different and make it fun to play, I'm sure that it'll end up on a summer game pile.
I mean, you guys kind of know my history with Halo, but I've played all of them and played a little bit of the multiplayer for all of them. Actually, I didn't play ODST. I still have that sitting at my house.
You
But
still have it, yeah.
yeah, but I actually have to say that I did enjoy the intro to this game. I love the idea that Master Chief has crashed on this planet and it's just him and Cortana, kind of living off the land, and then all of a sudden this giant passenger ship crashes like 75 miles away. And he's like, well, fuck, like, I better go help these people, like, I'm kind of living like, this life of solitude now, and maybe I can go get some new friends and see what's up. And then lo and behold, there's this whole nother, race on this planet that's set to kill him, and the Covenant are there too. So you're looking at like a three-way battle. It's going to be pretty cool. I have to say, I do love the design of the enemies. I love the design of the new weapon they showed off. And I really think that, this could be a new beginning for the franchise. So I'm oddly optimistic about it. And I didn't want to be, but I am.
Are you saying that the enemies look like Bionicles, or why do we have this link in front
They look exactly like Bionicles, dude. You're talking about like how fresh and innovative they are, and like literally as I was watching them, like, I remember these old toys called Bionicles, and they look exactly like the new Halo villains. They're these horror like ghetto Lego figures
Okay, I
that are
love that you
yeah.
took a comment that you're being so overtly positive, and somehow now it's like, erp.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say Bionicles were bad guys.
You're like,
I'm
they're
just
so
saying.
innovative and creative, and this is awesome. By the way, here's this old poopy toy.
This old poopy toy. I like Bionicles. All right, continuing.
I thought it was going to be like a testicle joke, to be honest, but
Bionic
That's fine.
testicles?
An ASCII wiener.
An ASCII wiener?
So, a game that I was not expecting, but it probably just because I wasn't reading the right places, South Park: The Stick of Truth, an RPG set in the South Park world where you are trying to be the fifth member of South Park.
Love it.
I think it's going to be
I love
great.
it. I think it's going to be awesome.
You know
I'm
what?
going to be
The
honest.
best part about it was seeing those guys up on stage and how real they were after all the canned bullshit. They came out, they were themselves, they cracked some jokes. In all the interviews, they were like, we have no idea how to make a fucking game. That's why we're here at E3. We want to learn how to make a good game. We don't know. And like one interview I read that was hilarious, or saw actually, they were sitting there with the developers, and the developers were like, well, what is the map of South Park look like? Like
Oh, yeah.
how far does Cartman live from Timmy? And they're like, we have no fucking idea. After making this show for 20 years, we have no idea where these kids live at all.
They said they had to draw out the whole map and like plan it. They were like, we've never realized that the buildings had to have relation to each other inside of a city. I thought it was awesome. I did love that they came out and he's like, what if I told you we could play a game where you're inside of a world? And he just makes this ridiculous string of like gaming tropes put together.
Yep.
And they're like, well, that's not this game, but you can play South Park. It was like, awesome. Yeah. You guys are great. So I actually, when I first was watching it, I was like, wait, are they doing like another Castle Crashers style South Park? Like, why is that a big announcement? And then when they're like, nope, it's an RPG, we're going to full like skill trees and you're going to do all this stuff with your character and you're going to try and join the gang. And like, they have all these, did you see the ridiculous move that they announced in Kotaku?
No, I didn't.
No.
Oh my God.
Is it a summon?
Yeah, it's a summon.
Oh God.
I swear to God. They were fighting an enemy and they were like, they did this summon and, God, his name, Mr. Slave.
Yes.
Mr. Slave shows up and sucks the enemy into his ass. And then like a bunch of like damage gets done. And then the guy like reappears afterwards. It's so amazing. It's just like the game. I love the concept. I love the idea of making your own South Park character and trying to join the crew for, and if the sense of humor, which I'm sure it will, travels through the game as much as it does in the show, I'm sold. I'll play.
Yeah. And they said they were looking, Matt Stone was saying they were looking to games like Skyrim, which they played at for inspiration, because they want to make it actually a pretty rich RPG experience as well as just being funny. So we could be looking at one of the very first successful comedy RPGs of all time.
I mean, they've got the background, you know, to pull it off. So not for gaming, for making funny, entertaining things.
That's true. Keep your fingers crossed.
If it's as massive as Skyrim, wow, that could truly be groundbreaking. And I mean, not in the like marketing speak way, but that could be really cool.
That could be cool. I'm excited. Yeah. All right.
Fun.
Hillary. Assassin's Creed 3.
I don't know. Am I the only one who is like obsessed with Assassin's Creed? I mean, I'm literally obsessed with it. It's the best.
I was up until 2 version 2, and then I kind of got tired of it after that.
I really enjoy the franchise. I don't know if I would say that I'm obsessed with it. I've played all of them except for the newest one.
Recalculation or whatever.
No, Revelations.
Recalculation, wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I get mad because I am a humongous fan of this series. I beat 1, I beat 2, I beat 2.1, I'm now playing 2.25, and I'm just like... I'm fatigued by it right now. So 3 looks amazing. It looks like exactly what I need. I'm fatigued by 2 version 1, version 2, like all that stuff that's coming out. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Every time they release a new game, they try to add something new. I mean, I think that's where they might have made some missteps with Revelations.
That was like a clusterfuck in Revelations. I mean,
I loved the game, but there were things about some of the mini games that I really hated, like the sending out your assassins and then, you know, constantly having to send them out because it's a degrading system, and then defending the
wonderful
fort.
Tower defense. Yeah. That's
oh,
such
I
a
hated
great
that
tower defense.
The
game.
Question is like, why do you guys think that they have to include these mini games at all? I mean, if it's to extend like the life of the game or to make it feel more robust, shouldn't they just add more of what everybody wants to do? And that's actually story driven, cool missions and assassinations. I mean, that's
because
why we play the fucking game.
But I don't think these games, these like versioning games of 2, were getting the full development weight that the pinnacle games are. I think 1 and 2 and 3 get full studio weight behind them. And I think these other ones are getting... hey, we need to put out another one because it's required to get a game out every year now.
I don't know. I would say that Brotherhood was actually really
Brotherhood
good.
Was good. Yeah, yeah, Brotherhood was good. But
yeah, Revelations to me didn't match up to that level. But I mean, Assassin's Creed has something that's, I don't know, intangible, and just they're the only ones that can do it. They bridge like history and killing people in a cool way. And they, I don't know, the whole thing about how you're climbing up on stuff and the music and the, I don't, they just have a lot of the pieces that I want when I want to escape. So but now what, that it's the Revolutionary War, I mean, that's pretty fantastic.
That's fantastic. The setting's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and naval battles.
It looks
battles?
Phenomenal. The naval battles look incredible. The question is, does it control incredibly? You know, if it controls like ass, I don't care how good it looks. It's going to be like pulling down that TIE fighter again in fucking Force Unleashed for half an hour.
They have new combat style too. I mean, I'm noticing on the show notes that you broke out Assassinate. I appreciate that. Running ass. Thank you. No, but you can like run and kill a person without stopping. I mean, it's like it's a one fluid motion, and then the tomahawk and the new hidden blade. Oh,
what so I amazing. Need that, what I need that I think Scott would agree with me on, so I'm going to go ahead and speak for him, is some reason for killing. Because I think what Brotherhood and definitely Revelation started to feel like was I'm just like outright murdering people for no reason whatsoever. Like I'm just running around just slaughtering people in a city because it's like, well, this is what I do now. I kill people because I got cool blades. And it's like, I need some more heft to the game again. And that's what's lost.
You didn't get the whole tie-in with the Templars?
Sure, but does the poor guy guarding a tower for the Templars really need to get murdered because I'm running past him to go? Like,
because you want to kill him with your hidden blade because those are the coolest.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So, like, in one and in two, for the most part, it was very like two was all about revenge, and one was all about like you were an assassin and your job wasn't to murder half a city; it was to get in, kill one guy, and get out. And that got slowly muddied up by the fact that they got really good at fighting. You know what I mean? Like, like it was fun to kill people. So then they were like, oh, well, let's just let you murder half the city, you know, with barely any punishment. And it's I think that's going to come back. I think this looks really good. I love the fact, like, when he's up hiding in a tree, you know, like waiting for the army to pass by so he can get the one guy. I think they're going to bring back that idea of that you're outnumbered and you're not necessarily going to be able to just kill everyone in the world to get through this. So.
Agreed.
It looks cool.
I think
it looks
incredible.
I actually missed this PS Vita game. Oh, Jim Moore. Sorry, Hillary. Go ahead.
Oh, no. That's actually where I was going. And I think, it's interesting that they're releasing a version of Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation on the Vita with a female protagonist, interestingly named Aveline. Yeah. But no, I'm super excited about that. I don't know if I'm ever going to get a Vita. Hence, I don't know if I'll ever play the game, but I love the fact that there's a female protagonist, and I would love it if in the future, the next one, maybe Assassin's Creed 4, during the Civil War, maybe that would be a female, I don't know, maybe she's like a courtesan or what do they call it? Not a courtesan, but you know, like the...
So she's a nurse. They had nurses, battle nurses.
I don't know. We'll see. but yeah, it'd be really cool to have a female...
And I'm kind of shocked they haven't at this point, but we'll see. And the thing is that the barrier to entry on the Vita is quite, you know, it's quite an investment. It's like, do you want to spend $400 to play Assassin's Creed on the Vita? Yeah. And does that level of detail and open world exploration translate into a handheld device? Not really. I've played Grand Theft Auto on the PlayStation Portable, and it's a terrible experience. I don't think open world works very well at all in that little thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the screen's better. It's a little bit bigger. The controls seem better. This is way more powerful. You've got some extra added ability with the touch and stuff. So maybe it works out in the end with the Vita. But like you said, it's so expensive. It's hard to for a single game. It's hard to justify. But
and we're all saving up for our next gen purchases.
That is true.
Whenever they come, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Exactly.
We don't know. We promise.
So, I'm super excited about Assassin's Creed, even though you guys are haters.
I'm not
hating. I love Assassin's Creed. And number 3 looks amazing. It's exactly what the series needs.
Yes. Right? We're fans.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have fun with multiplayer together because there's supposed to be a new King of the Hill mode with all sorts of crazy assassinations and stuff.
Scott and I actually really liked the multiplayer.
This one.
Brotherhood. So, anyways.
Cool.
So tell me why I should give a shit about either one of these games, somebody.
I'll tell you why. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I just put them on here because I know that I'll be buying them for sure. Not maybe not so much for me, but for Dave, who's my husband, by the way. But I just think that, you know, Medal of Honor I've actually played, and I think it's probably one of my favorite first-person shooters. Mm-hmm. And the Warfighter game that's going to be coming out, I love that they say every single mission in this game has a dotted line into a real-world event or hotspot. I mean, this kind of goes back to the conversation we had on the last podcast about mm-hmm. why are there not more games that are present day? Or, you know,
right.
how come we can't just play a game right here, right now? So I'm hoping that they deliver on that. But yeah, I mean.
And Scott loved Medal of Honor, too. That was one of his favorite mm-hmm. shooters. He picked it up yeah. to play and loved it. But
yeah,
in terms
I mean,
of Black Ops, I'm excited about a little bit excited about Black Ops more than the other Call of Duty games because of the future setting. And there is future technology in there because the game does take place in, I think, like 2025 or something like that. So it's a not too distant future game. So the new technology has me interested.
I'm just not a Twitch shooter. Like, I'm not a, like, you know, hyper realistic.
Well, it is the bread and butter, though, of the industry. So.
Oh, yeah.
We need to keep releasing titles.
$4.2 billion every time it comes
out. Bread
makes
you fat. So there you go.
Bread makes you fat, but it also helps fund the games that we all do love to play.
Bread does not do that, Hillary. Stop being lying.
Stop being lying. All right, so Tomb Raider. You say Lara Croft returns, looks a lot like Katniss to me.
I was just going to say, and even her clothes look like Katniss.
Seems like they kind of made a game about a book I just read.
Or a movie that just came out and made lots of money.
Yeah, exactly. Made a lot of money.
Yeah, so there's a lot of bow shooting. The thing I like about it is it looks like there's really great hit detection with the bow. So if you shoot a guy in the shoulder, he reacts as if he got hit in the shoulder. And, well, you know, hasn't, you know, staggers and acts accordingly. So that looks great. The action. Yeah, you can shoot people in the knee and and have fun that way. But it looks to be very Uncharted-esque, starring Lara Croft. And the action looks fast-paced. It looks beautiful. And I'm for one, pretty happy to see the return of this character. I'm not the biggest action gamer, but I think it's going to be good to have her back.
Do you feel like what you saw from E3 was somewhat of a reaction to the reaction that happened from, I think it was GDC, when they announced the game, where they basically showed a torture porn scene of her tied up mm-hmm. upside down, where she was just moaning endlessly and then cut down and then running away from bad guys? And then this one, what do we see? But like badass Lara Croft with a bow, killing people by jamming an arrow into their throat. And like, I mean, it looked like a polar opposite from what
yeah.
they showed
yeah.
in GDC.
I felt like the reaction to the GDC footage of Tomb Raider was a little unwarranted. I mean, the community kind of was like, oh, they just, you know, they made her weak and she's running. And like, anybody on the fucking planet would run if that was happening to them. And would make sounds if the world was caving in around them and they were being chased by creeps. Like, you know, you don't have to be the ultra badass all the time. Like, this is her origin story. She's not a badass yet. This is how she becomes a badass. So what we may have seen at GDC was the very beginning, and what we may see near the end of the game might be a little bit, you know, after she's learned a little bit. So I think,
to be
you know,
fair,
yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Just to be fair, though, as a woman running, you know, putting myself in that situation and also doing things, I don't know, like running down the street or exercising, I don't quite make those same noises that Lara Croft does. I'm like, what is
yeah.
this?
There was a reaction to the fact that she was like moaning. It wasn't like ah, oh my god. It was like, oh, like, what is happening in this game? It was a little porny, you have to say.
No,
it was
even,
a little porny.
Even like during, even at the stuff that was showed at E3 when she was, you know, running around and killing people. I mean, even those sounds, and that was actually before I had even seen the GDC stuff. I was like, wow, she sounds overtly sexual when she's stabbing people yeah. and running. Yeah.
Did you guys see the Penny Arcade comic that they put out about it?
No.
I did not.
I'll find a link. Go ahead.
So yeah. Anyway, are you guys excited for more Tomb Raider, or do you feel like this franchise should just be buried?
Oh, no. I mean, it looks like a good game. I like the, you know, as much as we make jokes about it being kind of a Hunger Games thing, I'm sure they didn't just put a bow and arrow in the game now, but I like the mechanic look of it. There was nothing that bothered me about the game I definitely liked the idea of it being a little bit more action-y than, you know, just running constantly, you know, from GDC. So it looked interesting. I thought it was cool. I don't know if this is a day and date.
I like that
game.
It's moving away from its platforming roots. You know, a lot less like jump on this ledge, then jump on this ledge, and then you know, give me a break.
I don't think it's day and date for me. It's not that kind of game, but I'll probably definitely give it a shot. It looks good.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. For once.
What?
Good.
I need to mark that time. Hold on. At 1:26:07.
Nice.
So, Ash.
Agreed.
Crysis 3. You guys excited for more shooting in the future?
I did not. I need Crysis to add franchise? Crysis 2 to my summer game pile, because I know you and Derek enjoyed the crap out of it, and I'd never picked it up, so.
Derek is probably the biggest, like, he plays every shooter. That's, like, his bread and butter. Actually, he plays everything, but but I did play Crysis 2. I did enjoy it. I felt like the story was awful. It bored the shit out of me, but the gameplay was great. So I'm interested to see where Crysis 3 goes. It looks phenomenal. I love the open world, tactical aspect of the series. And so I'd like to see a little bit more and see what happens. But I guess I'm looking forward to it. Sure.
Hillary?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I have not played a Crysis game before. And what I saw at E3 makes me want to play it. So I don't know if I'll backtrack and do like, you know, a retroactive trying to get to know the story. I might just pick it up, not maybe on release day, but soon after, and play from 3 on.
Did they say this is current gen again or no?
They didn't.
This should
think.
Be current gen, yeah.
It is.
I don't know if they said, but I believe it is. So, all right.
Mass Effect 3 is going to be released. We talked about it a bit earlier on Wii U, and I think I'm the only person on the earth that's excited about this.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm not buying a Wii U to play a game that I've played already. Like I'm not going to replay it on the Wii U. I don't know.
Yeah, there's really only two reasons why I'm really excited about this, and I can break it down this way. Number one, if Nintendo goes in the direction where they're offering games that I actually like to play, awesome. Yeah. And number two, if they're able to develop technology where there's a new level of immersion, awesome. So, yeah, I mean, it's not so much that it's that particular game. It's not so much that it's Mass Effect 3. It's just that it's a Mass Effect game on a new device. Really, that's really what it's about.
Yeah, but so you can't transfer your shepherd over, so it's kind of like a half.
Who wants
a jacked
up shepherd anyways?
I've gotten a lot of hate tweets because of my tweets. To be fair, and I even had people were even emailing me on my personal account, which I'm like, how did you ever get my email address? I got a lot of heat for that, and I would expect that BioWare would allow you to make critical decisions, including romances and things like that, at the onset of your game, because it is a very rich, you know, storytelling game. So I cannot imagine a situation where BioWare would not do that.
So, you got heat for saying that, like, just picking up at number 3 and not playing 1 and 2?
I got heat for saying that it's going to be cool on Wii U. I got heat because, you know, there are some things that have to happen in the first two games in order for you to allow you to romance certain characters. I mean, so basically, yeah, I got a lot of heat. Plus, then it stirred up all the HTL and retake folks. I got a lot of hate mail about that. So I'm just like,
they did the interactive comic for 2 on PlayStation. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The notion that you wouldn't be able to make those decisions, that they would just force it on you.
Yeah, they're coming. I mean, it's not going to be the same experience, but it is. You know, you'd still be able to make the same decisions. My advice to people, and I'm going to take a bullet for this, but just fucking relax, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's
just chill out.
Here's the thing. I'm not employed by BioWare, and I certainly don't I'll only represent them publicly at things like shows and events, and until I become a BioWare employee, I'm not going to make statements on behalf of the company. And I don't know why I'm a target as a fan. I happen to do business with them as, you know, a business partner. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know why I've all of a sudden become a target for hate. So those people who are out there that might be listening, probably not because it's me and you hate me. Just know that I'm a real person. So, yeah, I'm just a person who likes to play games. No, but it's pretty funny. Even some of the people at BioWare were joking around that they put my email address on Reddit and stuff like that. So it turned out to be a very funny conversation with some people. But, yeah, whatever. Emailing me is not going to do a damn thing in terms of getting done at BioWare. So.
Well, I mean, that's just ridiculous. The internet is ridiculous. So it doesn't really matter. But the
people can be mean.
To the game, though, I actually agreed with you. I think that, like, the coolest thing, and this wasn't even that cool, but one of the cooler things I saw about the Wii U was during the Zombie U. And do they have to put you on every friggin' damn thing? That,
apparently. Anyways, Mass Effect.
The Zombie U game, when they did the hacking. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
No.
So he's like running, you know, and like he's getting chased by zombies and he's running and he gets up to a door and the door has a keypad that he has to get in and he has to hack it and he like pulls up the thing and it shows up on the gamepad and then he starts like pressing in the numbers on the gamepad to like get through the door and he's like frantically trying to guess the number by pressing in and like it's all real, like they're still coming after him while he's pressing it. So what was cool about it is when he pulled up the gamepad to hack, the camera on the TV flipped around to show behind him, to show the zombies coming up on him.
Cool.
And then the gamepad was just the number pad with like some other little graphical twinges around it. So he's like trying to frantically hack while he's watching on the screen zombies come after him, like through the TV. I was like, that's really cool. Like if they can do game stuff like that,
right.
I could see something on Mass Effect being awesome if it gives you that extra level of like separation where now you're doing extra stuff on one thing while you're getting different views, or maybe you can get like squad control and you can see through maybe your teammates' eyes or something.
It's cool. I like
that.
It.
Would
I think
be
there
fantastic.
Can be cool stuff, but you know, it just depends. So I agreed when you started tweeting that. I 100% agreed. I just probably wouldn't buy the game a second time and another console. You know, I mean, I don't know. It would just depend on what else comes out on Wii U as to whether I would do that or not.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of a risky move on Nintendo's part, not because Mass Effect is a bad game by any means, because it's an amazing game, but considering all the controversy around it,
I think it's died. Do you?
No, not with all the emails I've been getting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting move on their part to pick that game in particular, just because of you know, recent events. So, I mean, I'm sure the deal was done way, way, way in advance of anything that happened, but... It's an interesting endeavor. I mean, I guess at the time, you know, BioWare would probably be pretty happy about it to try to gain more buyers or more audience.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, it's interesting that it's that game. But
I say it died, meaning that there's always going to be a group of people who have to be mad about something, and that's fine. I don't really, it's not, you know, well, it doesn't affect my life. But I think that as far as like newcomers to the game on a new system, I don't think they're going to be affected heavily by the fact that, you know, the ending controversy. So,
well, and the question is Extended Cut going to be on Wii U?
That's a very good question. I don't know.
Probably. And I don't know the answer to that either. So.
So last up, I also didn't see this one, the Far Cry 3. I did not see. So you guys can explain this to me.
I want
to
hear Ash's this. Impression. I want to hear this.
All right. So I'm sitting there and I'm on the couch and I have my iPad out and I'm in like a chat room. I don't know where I was. I think I might have been in Presto Reset's chat room and we were just talking about E3 and stuff. And all of a sudden the Far Cry demo comes on and it literally opens up with like a shot of a girl's boobs. And then like the main protagonist is sort of like rolling around with this girl. And then the camera just kind of lingers on her chest. And I'm sitting there looking at it like, what am I watching here? And I'm like, this is like, and I'm like, those are actually pretty well rendered. and then my wife walks in and she goes, what are you watching? And I'm like, I don't know. It's some new game. And then the guy goes on to like run around and like murder a bunch of people. And then he wakes up and he's like all on fucking crack. And like, basically he's like snorting bath salts or something and running around killing people. And then the naked booby girl comes back and I'm like, what is this game? They're like, Far Cry 3. I'm like, I don't know what I just watched, but it was seriously like a deranged drug trip in like an opium den somewhere in South Africa. It was, I don't know, a lot of boobs. What do you think, Hillary?
I was actually at work when I was watching this, so that added another level of awkward. So thankfully no one was in my office at the time, because that would have been bad. So I thought that they had actually like messed up. I did not think this was that deliberate. And then as I was sitting there watching these painted boobs, I was like, Interesting. And now it's all coming together with Girlwood, and I think Aisha Taylor had said something about how all girls are bisexual, and I'm like, okay, now I'm starting, maybe this is intentional, maybe they are trying to show us like video game porn. Okay, because she's like, you know, the first scene is like she's straddling you and like kind of moving around suggestively, and I'm like, I don't know what this is. So yeah, I was literally speechless for a while, just could not get over the shock. So I tweeted something like, I have no words for what I just saw. So, I mean, I definitely think that Ubisoft was going for the dramatic, you know, shock value there, and they absolutely achieved it. So I don't know if I'm going to buy Far Cry 3. And I don't know if I 100% agree with Aisha Taylor, but you know, it's an interesting proposition.
You don't know if you 100% agree.
Okay. We're not going to go there. Anyway,
I'm serious here.
Did you guys play Far Cry? Did you guys play Far Cry 1 or 2?
I've never played a Far Cry game. Yeah, all I knew was the shooter, and it was open world, and it was set in the jungle, and then I believe in Africa.
I played some of the multiplayer for Far Cry 1, I think, and that was all I ever played. I never played any of the single player, if there is massive single player or not. I don't know.
Well, the thing that I find interesting is that we've finally gotten to the point where developers are like, this game is for adults and we're going to make adult games like Witcher, which has actual nudity in it. And, you know, now there are games with lots of profanity, and, you know, it's getting to the point where things are almost to the point of, you know, hard R NC-17 type stuff. So it's only a matter of time before it escalates even further and we have some truly disgusting.
You broke up, but you said disgusting something.
Oh, I said disgusting hilarious. Tentacle porn.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good old tentacle porn.
We don't have it written down, and I didn't see anything on it, but Ash, did you get any new Gears of War stuff or no?
I did. So it's called Gears of War Judgment. I put a little write-up about it up on the site, and it is being developed by People Can Fly. Epic is, of course, helping out, but they are not the main designers on Judgment. And it looks to be the beginning of a whole new trilogy for Gears of War. It is a prequel trilogy. It takes place about 15 years before the first game. It's going to be starring Baird and Cole. We learned that Baird, this is from Rod Ferguson, was voted as actually the most liked male character in the entire trilogy. Over Marcus and over Coltrane and all them. So they said, well, you know, since everyone likes Baird so much, we're going to go ahead and base the this new trilogy around Baird. So Baird's the main protagonist. And probably the biggest revelation, since they haven't revealed a whole lot about the story, is the new multiplayer mode. And the new multiplayer mode is pretty cool because it's going to be the first time they have a class-based multiplayer. And you're going to be able to play as the Locust and the Cog, and each Locust class and each Cog unit have different abilities. So it'll be like a medic, a scout, a heavy support, things like that, sort of more like Battlefield style. And the Locust will each have their own special abilities. So you can play as like a Ticker or, you know, a Boomer, whatever. So a lot of new innovation coming to the franchise. Happy to see it. Going to be interesting. A lot of positive buzz came through the a lot of reviewers who actually got to get their hands on the multiplayer. So stuff, happy for it. All right. Thanks for listening to episode 62 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can find us on Twitter at @NerdAppropriate. We're also on Google+, and you can email us at Matt, Ash, Hillary, and Scott at @NerdAppropriate. And we will be back very soon with episode 63.
Thank you.
Yay.